December 8th. Kate is now referring to herself as a QuiltCon reject. Apparently, this is a thing among modern quilters who submit quilts to QuiltCon but don't get in. They all post photos of their rejected quilts on Instagram. Daryl keeps showing me pictures of the so-called rejects, and I have to say, a lot of the quilts that didn't get in looked as fabulous as the ones that did get in. The competition in the modern world is pretty fierce. I've never been much interested in entering my quilts into national shows. I've made some pretty nice quilts in my day, but I don't feel any strong need to send them into the world. Nothing against the people who do. Sheila has submitted to the International Quilt Festival a few times, and even though she's never had a quilt accepted, she says it's good for her to put some pressure on herself to up her game. Right now, it's unclear whether or not Sheila will ever make another quilt. She lives and breathes thimble pleasures. She texted me this morning to say she just realized it might be years before she takes a vacation. I texted back that Carol Woolsey could take over for a week, but Sheila didn't reply. Probably because she's afraid if she lets Carol take over for the week, it's possible she'd change the locks and never let Sheila back in. Just kidding, haha. Except that I'm not. December 9th. Daryl and I got our Christmas tree today. We used to wait until the week before Christmas to get our tree, and then, when the kids were little, we got the tree 2 weeks before Christmas. Somehow, that turned into 3 weeks before Christmas. Peer pressure, I guess. Also, if you wait too long, the tree lots sell out. On our way home, Daryl said that if it was all right with me, he'd like to have his men's group over next Sunday for a dinner party. That sounds very fancy, I told him. Not just dinner, but a dinner party. Yeah, I'm afraid if I just say to the guys, come on over for dinner, they're going to expect pizza and beer in front of a football game. But that's not what I mean. Ever since Thanksgiving at Abby's, I've been thinking a lot about the dinner parties my parents had back in the day. Depending on how many people they were having, my mom even hired help to serve and clean up. The men wore suits and the women wore heels. I remember how Fern used to sit on the bottom step of the stairs and eavesdrop. She said that looking back, she should have known she was going to be a writer from the way she loved to listen in on adult conversation. I put my hand on Daryl's knee. His older sister, Fern, died 3 years ago in a car accident. Nobody's fault. It was January and she hit a patch of black ice. Daryl and Fern weren't close as kids, but they got close as adults when their mom got cancer. She had a long career as a newspaper reporter, Fern did, which meant she always had the best stories. So what are you going to serve at this party? I asked him. And do you want me out of the house? Not out of the house, necessarily, but out of the room, Daryl replied. If that's okay. I shrugged. Sure, I'll go over to Sam and Jessica's for the evening. Or maybe Sheila and I could have a girls' night out. It's been a long time since we did that. So long, as a matter of fact, that I can't remember the last time we did. Nowadays, when Sheila has a free evening, she spends it with Tom Grangerfield. They're in the cozy phase of their relationship, which is what comes after the let's go out on the town phase, where you're still showing off for each other. Nowadays, their dates take place at Sheila's house. Tom has a condo that Sheila says has the antiseptic, unlived-in look, and decidedly not cozy. where they cook dinner together and watch Netflix into the late hours. I'm happy for Sheila. She deserves this. But I miss her. A lot. I mean, sure, I see her almost every day at Thimble Pleasures, but we're always too busy to really talk. All of our conversations are in the form of snippets. You know what? I'm going to insist that we have dinner together next Sunday. We should make reservations somewhere wonderful, Parsnip or Vin Rouge, and dress up, heels and everything. But no stockings. I'm done with stockings. It will be our Christmas present to one another. Oh, I love that idea. Maybe we should make a rule that we can't discuss Thimble Pleasures. No business talk. I want to have the kind of conversations we used to have. Just hours and hours of talk about everything in the world. Our kids, our quilts, our shoes. Sheila and I both love shoes, in part because shoes are fabulous, and in part because no matter what size your butt is, your shoe size never changes. Okay, that's not entirely true. Before I had kids, I wore a 7.5 shoe, and now I wear an 8.5, and sometimes even a 9. Sheila is the only one who knows that. Thanks, kids. But in general, shoes are the only clothes I like to shop for and talk about. Can you have enough shoes? I don't think so. December 11th. Well, Sheila and I won't be going to dinner next Sunday. She's already been invited to the Grangerfield Christmas gathering at the Milton Falls Country Club. You don't want to go to that, I insisted as I put down the box of donuts on her desk. It's going to be filled with, well, Grangerfields. How fun will that be? Sheila took a chocolate-covered donut from the box and examined it lovingly. It's not really about having fun. It's about meeting his family. Well, I already know his sister Darla. Tom says she's thinking about running for mayor. I'd vote for her, wouldn't you? She's a quilter, isn't she? Exactly, Sheila agreed. Plus, she runs a business. Mayor Pepperdine is fine, I guess, but he's a retired forest ranger. I'm not sure how he got voted into office. The oak trees on Hale Avenue were dying, remember? And the elms on Eastern Avenue had Dutch elm disease. I forgot about that, Sheila said, depositing the chocolate donut back into the box. I stared at her. What are you doing? I'm trying to, you know, lose a few pounds before the party. It's nearly Christmas. Since when did you, or anyone halfway sane, try to lose a few pounds before Christmas? Christmas is all about trying to maintain your current weight and then failing to maintain your current weight. I know, Sheila said, but if I can lose 2 pounds before Sunday, I'll just feel more confident. I mean, all of Milton Falls' movers and shakers will be there. It's not just the Grangerfields, it's their nearest and dearest. But you look great as you are, I said. And didn't we always say we'd never, ever try to change ourselves for a man?
We said that in 10th grade, Marnie, and we never really meant it. Not really. Otherwise, we wouldn't have gotten all those perms.
Does Tom want you to lose weight? I asked, feeling my blood rise at the very thought of any man saying anything the least bit critical of my best friend. Because if he has...
He hasn't, I promise. He seems to. Well, He actually seems to like how I look. He says he does anyway. But it's not him that I'm worried about. It's everyone else. No one is going to think I'm good enough for Tom.
Then they're idiots, I declared. If anything, he's not good enough for you.
Oh, that's just silly. He's definitely good enough for me. Why?
Don't say it, I interrupted. Don't say that he's too good, because he's not.
Okay, I won't say it, but...
Don't even think it, Sheila laughed.
Fine, I won't even think it, but other people will.
She paused.
Hey, Marn, I just got the most amazing idea. You should come with us. I know Tom wouldn't mind. He thinks you're a pip.
A pip? What is he, from the 19th century?
Sort of, Sheila admitted. He's kind of goofy. That's one reason that I like him so much. Here he is, a man who's got everything, and he's a dork. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, that never occurred to me in high school when I was watching him getting crowned homecoming king, I confessed.
It's like those chocolates that you think are solid, Sheila said dreamily. And then you get to the center and you discover that they're filled with caramel.
Caramel with sea salt. Oh, I love caramel with sea salt, I said. How did we survive so many years without sea salt in our candy? Sheila's hand drifted to the donut box, where she replucked the chocolate donut she'd deposited there just moments before.
I'll make a deal with you, Marn. I'll eat this donut if you go to the party with me.
I really wanted her to eat that donut, because if she ate that donut, I felt like I could eat the jelly-filled donut right next to it. I don't have anything to wear, I told her. How can I go to a fancy-dancy Grangerfield party if I don't have anything to wear?
Wear what you wore to Carol's interview, she suggested. You looked great in that outfit.
But that's an interview outfit, I argued. Sheila shook her head.
Not really, Marn. It was definitely leaning cocktail party.
I'm going to be totally out of place, I pointed out, possibly unwanted and unappreciated.
Me too, Sheila said. It will be just like high school.
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. December 12th. Today, I got an email from Lynn Cavanaugh inviting me to become a member of her weekly bee, the Sew Sisters. She asked me 2 years ago, right after I retired, but I wasn't ready to make any time commitments yet. When she didn't ask me last year, I thought I'd missed my chance. The Sew Sisters meet on Tuesday mornings at the Busy Bean, a cafe near the mall that has several back rooms they let community groups use as long as they spend a certain amount of money on coffee and pastries while they're there. I like all of the Sew Sisters members, and I've been thinking that I need to spend less time at Thimble Pleasures now that Carol is working there full-time and Sheila has hired Mimsy Worcester to work on weekday afternoons. No one has said anything to me, but on slow days, I feel like I'm in the way. I'm starting to reflect on this past year, and one thing I've realized, I haven't made that many quilts. A lot of that has to do with helping Sheila open Thimble Pleasures, and of course, life has been busier than ever now that the most wondrous and beautiful Alyssa has come into the world. But aside from my family and friends, is there anything that gives me greater pleasure than making a quilt? No, dear diary, there is not. I love every single part of the process, even the binding. Everyone I know hates binding.
I'll admit that I don't love basting, but since I hardly quilt my own quilts anymore, basting's not really an issue. I want to make a new quilt for our bed, but I can't even think about it until January. There's too much to do between now and Christmas. Daryl's pulling out the decorations tonight so we can get started making the house look merry and bright. Let's keep it simple this year, I told him over breakfast this morning. All of it, the tree, the lights, the tabletop decorations. Let's embrace minimalism.
You say this every year, Marnie, Daryl pointed out, and I know you mean it. And then every time you go to Target, you pick up new decorations because the decorations at Target, and I'm quoting here, are so darn cute.
Guilty as charged. But this year, I'm going to try to do better. I'll give myself a $10 limit at Target. Okay, let's be realistic, 20. Okay, 25. That is it, and I mean it. And for every new ornament and doodad and piece of sparkly cuteness that I bring into the house, I have to let one old decoration go. I'm starting to feel the Christmas spirit, dear diary. In fact, I think I'll go to Target right now to look at the decorations. Oh, and to buy some mascara for the Grangerfield Christmas party. And maybe a flask. I may need to pack some extra wine just to get me through this thing.
Thank you so much for listening to Diary of a Mad Quilter and for being a Story Guild subscriber. Keep tuning in for more quilt fiction and more quilty fun.